Shiradhastami ki jai. So we were asked to give some class on Srimati Radharani. I think better to read some things from the previous acharyas. By their mercy we can understand a little bit of Srimati Radharani and the activities in the spiritual world, the personalities. Hare Krishna. So, Srimati Radharani is the tattva, she is the Haladini potency. Pancha tattva atmakam krishnam bhakta rup surupakam bhakta ravataram bhakta kyam pramami bhakta shaktikam. So she is the Gadadha Pandit shaktikam. So he is Srimati Radharani, he is the energy of the energetic. So she is the, of all the energies and potencies of the Lord, which are unlimited, the chief energy is the internal potency of all the different energies of God. Why? Because this internal potency, as headed by Srimati Radharani, it's the pleasure potency of the Lord. It's the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. And God's business is pleasure. So obviously this is his greatest shakti, because that's what he likes best. So that what brings him the best, that he considers his greatest shakti, potency. So she becomes the potency, Haladini potency. Yes, it said, Krishna, God is one. When he desires to enjoy, he becomes two. To enjoy with that potency. Then all the other different expansions from that are to assist, actually, in this loving affair of Radha and Krishna. This is the Adiras, the original feature of Godhead. Different ages of God, Pugandhar age, Kumar age. But the original feature of God is God in his Kishora age. That means he's a youth in Vrindavan. This is the original feature of God. All the other features, the different relationships, they're all expansions. And the purpose of all these expansions is to assist in this Adiras, or Radha and Krishna's loving pastime. Because that's his greatest pleasure. So devotee means one who wants to bring Krishna or God the greatest pleasure, isn't it? So what is his greatest pleasure? Srimati Radharani. So therefore, the devotees who really want to please Krishna, they serve Srimati Radharani to unite with Krishna. So that goes on in Vrindavan. It doesn't go on outside of Vrindavan. That's why Krishna never takes one footstep out of Vrindavan. It's not necessary, because his greatest happiness is there in Vrindavan. But then Krishna also leaves Vrindavan, we see. So why does he leave? For the pleasure of his devotees. They want to see him in a different feature. They want to serve him in a different feature. So therefore Krishna expands to satisfy his devotees. It's not actually his desire to expand out in these different forms. He has known his greatest pleasures in Vrindavan. He doesn't need to go anywhere. But to satisfy his devotees who want to serve him in different aspects, then he's very, very merciful. So all these other forms of the Lord, they're actually for the pleasure of his devotees. When the inhabitants of Vrindavan went to the arena of Kamsa, and then they were leaving, and Krishna said, well, I've got to stay behind. Nanda Maharaj said, you should come back. He said, I can't. Because Vasudev and Devaki, my real mother and father, they want me to be with them, it's natural. And they want to give me this sacred thread, and I'm at that age now. And they want to, naturally, the members of the Jadu dynasty, they want to spend some time with me. So I have to stay here a little while, Nanda, a few days. So, so he tells Nanda Maharaj, actually the only reason I'm staying here in Mathura is to bring my Vasudeva and Devaki and the Jadu dynasty some pleasure. Otherwise, my pleasure is not here, it's in Vrindavan. Krishna repeats this a few times, this aspect. Three times, I saw. So anyway, this is the idea that we want to bring God the greatest pleasure, so therefore we become servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani, because she is his greatest pleasure giver of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he finishes Bhagavad Gita as it is on this point in the last chapter, last verse, last sloka, last purport, last sentence. So the author sometimes is revealed at the very end of his works, but this is the last statement that Prabhupada's making in Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he's talking about how the living entity has minute independence. And by proper use of that independence, he can be situated in his constitutional position. And by misuse of that independence or choice, he has freedom of choice. By misuse of that freedom of choice, then he becomes conditioned. He's a tatastha shakti, so he has a choice. If he chooses to misuse his independence in trying to bring himself pleasure, then he becomes covered with the material body and the material world to imitate. But if he uses his independence properly, then he gets his real spiritual identity and he can enter into the spiritual world. So Prabhupada finishes his Bhagavad Gita on this point, that the living entities, actually, we belong in the Haladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency. So Prabhupada finishes that, his Bhagavad Gita, that this is our goal. We want to enter into that pleasure-giving atmosphere to exhibit our Haladini potency in relation to Radha and Krishna and serve them. So it's this Haladini potency is, everything is based on, all the pastimes are based on this pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. And Prabhupada said, we are part of that. We are part of that. We can become in. It's not that we lose our tattva, that's eternal now. As tatastha shakti, as jiva, it's not that we become internal potency, like Radharani and her friends and their internal potency. But when we go there and use our Haladini potency, our minute portion, to bring Radha and Krishna, which is what it's meant for, then we're as good as the eternal associates of the Lord. There's no discrimination. When everyone's there, all together serving to please Radha and Krishna, all the different groups, wherever you may be, the idea is that they're all serving to please Radha and Krishna. And there's no difference between those who are tatastha shakti, the jiva tattva, or the internal potency of the Lord. Because the aim is one, the consciousness is one. the unification of Radha and Krishna. So there's no difference. So this is what Prabhupada is pointing out. This is where Prabhupada is taken to us in Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's where we belong, in that pleasure-giving potency. So this is where Prabhupada wants to take us. Back to Goloka. So this is the tattva, the living entity. Just as Krishna is Satchit Ananda, this is the Haladini. Ananda means Haladini. Satchit Ananda means the Haladini. Sandini, Sambit and Sandini. Sandini is the Sat aspect, the eternal aspect. Sandini is the Chit, conscious aspect. And Haladini is the pleasure-giving potency. So, because Krishna has these in full, we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have a small portion of these qualities. We're eternal. We have knowledge and we are blissful. But not to the extent that Krishna is, but like father, like son, well, we do have this, that is our constitutional nature, Satchit Ananda. So this pleasure-giving potency it has to be manifested. So this in the Brahma Samhita, also in the a few other places, it describes how this, how we, Brahma Samhita says, how you can, or if consciousness cannot reach the spiritual realm, then what else can? Mind, intelligence, it's all material. We're working with material elements. How we can actually understand what's beyond, what is transcendental? Krishna is adoksacha. He's beyond the purview of the senses. We're trying to understand Krishna with mind and intelligence, but it's material. He's beyond material conception. So how will we ever find out? So Brahma Samhita says that if the consciousness of a person, this is the chit aspect, if the consciousness of a person cannot reach the absolute realm, then what else can? There's nothing else that can. So pure consciousness, then we can actually reach the spiritual world when we're in pure consciousness. And but how to enter into that realm of Goloka, it describes that when this chit aspect, conscious, we're aware, we have knowledge, when that is joined to the essence of the Haladini potency or the pleasure-giving potency, in other words, when we use our consciousness, our chit, our consciousness to understand Krishna or bring Krishna pleasure, then this is the proper utilization of our being, Satchitananda. But the consciousness itself is not sufficient to attract Krishna. But when it's joined with the Haladini potency, then it becomes very attractive. Krishna is attracted by that Haladini potency. It is his attractive pleasure potency. So we have to join the Haladini potency to the Chit potency, and that enables one to reach transcendence. But still, because of our minute size, we cannot actually extend our consciousness and Aladini, our mood of service to Krishna, because of our limited size. But because of the sincere endeavors by devotees to do that, then they get the blessings of their fairy godmothers or fairy godfathers, whoever is looking after us. We get recommended to Krishna. Radharani and Afra, they would recommend to Krishna, oh, such a nice devotee. So then as soon as you're recommended, your guru is there, he's your well-wisher. So he can tell, he can give you a recommendation in the spiritual realm. Such a nice, sincere devotee, wants to serve you and come back to Godhead. So when Krishna hears from his devotees, oh, that someone wants to come and serve me, Krishna immediately, he sends his unlimited chit and unlimited ananda to meet our tiny chit and ananda. This is how we make a connection. By ourselves, we're not powerful enough to reach the spiritual realm because of our minute size. But when the service attitude is there and the recommendation is there, that means the mercy of a devotee has to be there, then Krishna, he sends his halyanidhi shakti to meet our halyanidhi shakti. Then the actual loving relationships takes place. So this is mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani, also Brahma Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I can't quite remember. So yeah, so this is the idea. We want to revive our original Krishna consciousness, our loving relationship with Krishna consciousness, with Krishna, as Prabhupada's saying all the time. It means to revive that haladini potency, or real, it's covered, it has to be reawakened. So so we can hear something about the Srimati Radharani. This is from the Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika. It's describing here the Srimati Radharani and all the beautiful gopis who may be considered in hundreds of groups. Each group contains hundreds and thousands of gopis. Among all the gopis, the most important are Srimati Radharani, Chandravali, Bhatra, Sham, and Palika. All these gopis are full of transcendental good qualities. So these are what they call the eight main gopis. Often they refer to the Astashaki as the main gopis, but they're Radharani's intimate friends. The main gopis are considered to be the ones we just read. Of these gopis, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali are the best. Each of them has millions of doe-eyed gopi followers. Because she possesses all charm and sweetness, Srimati Radharani is better than the two. Of the two, she is supremely famous in the Shruti Shastra. She is known by the name of Gandhava Devi. Sri Krishna, the cowherd prince, whose charming sweetness is no equal or superior, is very dear to Srimati Radharani. She considers him millions and millions of times more dear than her own life's breath. Srimati Radharani's splendid bodily luster is like the yellow pigment gold rochana, or molten gold, or stationary lightning. Gold rochana is a pigment from Macau. It's a browny, goldy color. She wears wonderfully beautiful blue garments, and she is decorated with various pearls and flowers. Prize for Radhastami. She is beautiful and has a long, nicely braided hair. She decorates herself with a garland of flowers and a beautiful pearl necklace. Her splendid forehead is decorated with a red pigment shindur with beautiful locks of curling hair. Decorated with blue bangles, her arms have defeated Cupid's staff with their beauty. Decorated with black mascara and reaching back almost to her ears, Srimati Radharani's lotus eyes are the most beautiful in the three planetary systems. Her nose is as beautiful as a sesame seed flower, and it is nicely decorated with a pearl She is appointed to various perfumes. She is splendidly beautiful. Her ears are decorated with wonderful earrings, and her nectarian lips defeat the red lotus flowers. Her teeth are like rows of pearls. Her tongue is very beautiful, decorated with a nectarian smile of pure love. Her beautiful face is as splendid as millions of moons. The beauty of her chin has defeated and bewildered Cupid, the demigod. Decorated with a drop of musk, the chin appears like a golden lotus flower with a bumblebee. Bearing all these marks of wondrous beauty, her neck is decorated with a string of pearls. Her neck is and back and sides are enchantingly beautiful. Her beautiful breasts are like two splendid golden water pots, covered by a bodice and decorated with a necklace of pearls. Her beautiful enchanting arms are decorated with jeweled ornaments. Her arms are also decorated with jeweled bracelets and other kinds of jeweled ornaments. Her hands are like two red lotus flowers illuminated by the series of moons that are her fingernails. Transcendental markings on Srimati Radhari on his hands, many auspicious, such as, who knows? Shout if you know. The marks on Radharani's hand. No, it's on the foot. Okay, I'll read some of them. Bumblebee, lotus, crescent moon, earring, parasol, umbrella, sacrificial post, conch shell, tree, flower, and swastika, and the chamara. Her beautiful lotus feet are decorated with jeweled ankle bells and her toes with toe rings, as beautiful as the treasure of Varuna. The auspicious markings on Srimati Radharani's lotus feet are conch shell, moon, elephant, barley corn, rod for controlling elephants, that is the anupush, chariot, flag, got it, small drum, swastika, and a fish. Radharani is 2 weeks older than Krishna, younger than Krishna. Because Krishna appears on the Astami, the dark Astami, Radharani appears on the light Astami. 15 days younger. Srimati Radharani is 15 years old and full of the lust of youth. It is said her eternal age is 14 years, 2 months and 15 days. Jasoda Devi, the queen of the cowherds, is more affectionate to Radharani than millions of mothers can be. Radharani's father is King Harihol, you got it, Vrishabhanu, who is as splendid as the sun. Srimati Radharani's mother is Harihol, you got it, who is also known in this world as Ratna Garbha Devi. Radharani's paternal grandfather is Mahibanu, and his maternal grandfather is Indu. Radharani's elder brother is Sridham, and her younger sister is Ananga Manjari. Very good. And her mother-in-law is Jyotila. And who is her so-called husband?
Abhimanyu.
Mayan Ghosh. In Bengal, they call him Mayan Ghosh. There's a, in the Varshana, you go, there's a little temple of Chatila and Kotila, huh? And Abhimanyu. You're in Varshana. Now the other deities is very nice, beautiful Radha Krishna, everything is very beautiful. You see Chatila and Abhimanyu and her sister, they got their crowns like that, and there's a lump of cloth put over like that, and they look completely to be deraggled, as if they just, you know, thrown a bit of cloth. And of course, we cannot imitate them. So who are Radharani's eight best friends? Lalita? Shaka? Tuleka Rangadevi? Sudevi? Induleka? These gopis are considered the leaders of all the others. Srimati Radharani's Manjari friends. Anybody know? Huh? Rupa Manjari, very good. Rati Manjari. Lavanga Manjari. Huh? Kasturi. Kasturi. Huh? Kustari, yes. Guna. Gunu. I can't see. Ananga Manjari, is it? Vilasa Mangari, Rasa Manjari, Roti, Prema Manjari, Mani Manjari. The Srimati Radharani's worshipful deity is? Her worshipful deity is? Huh? Sun God, yes. Sun God. Who is? At the pastime then, Radharani goes and worships the Sun God. Who is disguised as the Sun God? Krishna. So she worships Krishna. Her mother-in-law sent her, you must go and worship Sujit. So even though they're the greatest impediments to Radha and Krishna's meeting, the mother-in-law, Chatila, but still they send them to meet Krishna. Go and worship the Sun God. You have to worship the Sun God. You get get good health, you get everything, good opulence. And, so she's, even though she's considered the, what do you say, but actually she's actually assisting in the conjugal pastime. She's sending Radharani to meet the Sun God, who is actually Krishna. Srimati Radharani's Maha Mantra is? Krishna. Yes. Radharani has a pet swan that swims around on Radha Kund. Anybody know the name? Tundikeri. And she has a pet elephant. Anybody know the name? Madhuri. She has two parrots also. Who knows the name? Shubha and Shukshmati. Yes, very good. She wears a locket around her neck. Whose picture is inside? Of course. Srimati Radharani's garments are named Meghambara. Megha means cloud. And her upper garment is a red cloth, like rubies. And it is the favorite of Lord Hari. Radharani's lower garment is the color of a blue cloud, and it's her own favorite. So why is her sari, blue cloud color of sari, her favorite? It reminds her of Krishna. And why Krishna likes, why does she wear a red ruby ornament? Because Krishna likes it, yeah. Radharani has a jeweled comb. Anybody know the name? You forgot. Okay. It's called Swastida. Everything is personality there. Her private lake bears her own name, Radha Kunda. Srimati Radharani's glorious birth occurred on the 8th day of the bright moon in the month of Bhadra. Although generally not full on that day, the moon appeared to celebrate the Radharani's appearance in this world. That was from the Radha Krishna Ganadesa Deepika. So, Purnamasi says to Nandi Mukhi, the love between Radha and Krishna, or Madhava it says, the love between Radha and Madhava is a festival of endless bliss. Its equal does not exist in either the spiritual or material worlds. It appears instantly and is never disturbed by anything. Due to so much grief from fear of their elders, they have to devise various clever means for meeting together, and a very special flavor of ever-increasing rasa has arisen. God has to do things in secret. Some things he cannot do in public. He has his elders there. He is God, but he cannot do it. So there's fear of the elders. But you're making all the arrangements, secret meetings. This is it. And Purnamasi is saying, this is creating such a rasa, and a wonderful rasa. Parikya rasa. Famous. No one else. Krishna's. The Rig Veda says, among all people, Radhika and Madhava together are the most beautiful. So you see Radha Madhava ki?
Yeah.
In the Narad Purana, Krishna says to Narad Muni, I solemnly declare to you again and again and again that without the mercy of Sri Radha, my mercy does not exist. It does not arise. In the Bhavishyatara Purana, Krishna says to Narad, if you have strong faith in Prem Bhakti, and if you desire to please me and obtain my mercy, then you please become a loving devotee of Sri Radha. Srimati Radharani ki jai. A little bit about Radharani that's been revealed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra. By this Leela of Mahaprabhu, he is revealed to us very deep sentiments of Srimati Radharani, which we would probably not have known if Mahaprabhu hadn't revealed these at the Rath Yatra festival. And Mahaprabhu is speaking to Jagannath. He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Please come back to Vrindavan. They're pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. And Jagannath is Krishna in Dwarka. So Mahaprabhu is having, as Radharani, he's having a conversation with Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way as we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you would please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra, this is where the pastime of Kurukshetra, there was a solar eclipse, all the dynasties went there, and then Krishna was there, and the gopis were there also. So then Krishna spoke privately with the gopis. So this is what it's referring to. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Jagannath in Puri, he's referring to this time when they met at Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people, elephants, horses, also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens and the humming of bees and the chirping of birds. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. Therefore I request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand them. While dancing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in the association with Sri Damodar Goswami. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts. Although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already in Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it would be very difficult for me to keep my life. My dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for Gyan Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in Gyan Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. This is not right for me." So this is when Krishna sent Uddhava with a message to the gopis. And he said, my dear gopis, my dear friends, you should know that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, under any circumstance or any place, because I am all pervading. So they're criticizing Krishna when he spoke like that. Why are you treating us like jnanis? This is the goal of the jnanis. All pervade, to understand the all-pervading Lord. Why are you teaching this jnana? Previously, when you called us for the rasa dance, you started to give us moral instructions after calling us to the dance. You got husbands and your children, do your duty. That is, you're teaching us karma to our dharma. Although we didn't even ask you for this advice, you freely gave it to us. Are you teaching Uddhava to teach us jnana? And now you're saying the same thing again. Now we're at Guru Ketra, and Krishna says, this is just like there is a whirlwind sometimes, and it flies around, it picks up pieces of dust, paper, everything like that, and it's all, and then when the whirlwind finishes, it's all scattered everywhere. So the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller, he brings everyone together for a little, and then he disperses everyone. Everything is happening according to the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Lord, destiny. And they say, Krishna, you're a very clever speaker, because that Supreme Lord who controls everything is no one but yourself. Why you are teaching this Gyan and telling us to meditate upon you? You're treating us like these common Gyanis and Yogis. We were accustomed to loving you from the very beginning of our lives. It's not proper for you to treat us like this, Krishna, treating us like ordinary. So this is the criticism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are simply ludicrous. In this way you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yogic practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. The gopis have fallen into a great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingala fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingala fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by the yogis and jnanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoy the rasa dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft-hearted, and merciful. I know that there's not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is my only misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Jasoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming here? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence they're all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought to himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all of you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, my father, cowherd boyfriends and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among all the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of you all. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in a distant place have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or a man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other, for if one dies, the other hears of it, he or she will also die. Such a loving chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation, and do not care for personal happiness, desiring only each other's well-being. Such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayan. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. And then I return to Dwarka Dham. And thus you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayana's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope very soon I will be visible to everyone. I have already killed all the mischievous demons who are the enemy of the Jadu dynasty, and I've also killed King Kamsa and his allies. But there are two or four demons still living. I want to kill them. And after doing this, I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. Know this for certain. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Yadus. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. And when I return, I shall enjoy both day and night with you and all the damsels of Rajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. And he made her listen to a voice which banished all her difficulties and which assured her that she would again attain Krishna. Radharani ki jai. So here is another statement. Krishna says, why I remain in Dwarka is to protect all the inhabitants who think I'm their relative. Otherwise, I'm indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Yadus. So here's another point. The only reason Krishna is in Dwarka is for the satisfaction of the Yadus. It's not for his satisfaction. So here Mahaprabhu has revealed these sentiments of Srimati Radharani in relationship to Krishna. Oh, based in separation. Otherwise we may not have had this information if it wasn't for Mahaprabhu. So actually Radha and Krishna are one, and they become two. She gives an example. Actually, she says, myself and Krishna, we are one. They said, how it can be possible? How is it possible you can be one? If we're only one soul. She said, we're only one soul. How is it possible that it's only one soul, two people in one soul? And that's when she, so she gave the example of the, she's just like you have a ghee wick. And you put two wicks together, and you twist it, it's kind of split at the end. And you light it up, it burns as one flame, it's two wicks together. But when you light it, it's one, just one flame. So she said like that, we are actually one soul, but we appear as two. Hare Krishna. Srimati Radharani ki jai, Shri Radhasthami Mahotsav ki, Nitai Go Premanandi, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. You have a question?